Today's scripture reading comes from Exodus 17, 8 to 16. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hand grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Before we get into our word, could you please bow with me as we pray for the word? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to us, your love to us, and your mercy to us that you pour up on us every day. Father, we thank you for your word, as this is a guide for us. It is a lamp unto our feet. And so we pray, Lord, that your word now would teach us, would mold us and shape us so that as your people, we would live out your will. Protect us any that may distract us from anything while we hear your word, that we may just glorify you, that we may praise you and just continue to worship you through the hearing of your word. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how all of our names have value, right? Some of your names have meaning. Of course, you have meaning with your names, right? You are named for a certain reason. Maybe you are named after a person, character in the Bible. Or perhaps your middle name means something in different language. See, all of our names have value and unique identity. And likewise, just as we talked about a few weeks ago, it's the same way with God. God's name has value because it encompasses who he is. We see throughout the scripture that God had different names, different characters, different attributes that he has, different roles that he plays in our lives. And so today, we are going to look at another name of God. And the name that we're going to look at is Jehovah Nissi. And I just hope and pray that as we look at another name of God, Jehovah Nissi, that we will be reminded about it and that we get to connect with God and get to know him better. Now, the name Jehovah is in the beginning of every name of God that we see throughout the scripture. And to recap a little bit from last time, it's a Hebrew word that means to be. The Lord, the existing one, right? And the chief meaning of Jehovah means to become known. And I just think that's so interesting and cool how it's in God's name that he desires to, you know, to be known, right? And to have relationship with his people. Now, some of you may disagree, right? You may have felt that God has been distant from you. Maybe you felt far from God. And I just want to remind you again that God's name, Jehovah, reveals that he is a Lord who wants to become known and to want to have relationship with you and to be connected with his people. And so again, we're looking at Jehovah Nissi today through this time, and this is what it means. Jehovah Nissi, it means the Lord is my banner. Now, in order for us to understand the meaning of this name, we need to understand the context in which this name Jehovah Nissi is revealed to us in scripture. In fact, we only find this name Jehovah Nissi ever once in scripture, And that's in Exodus chapter 1, the passage that we just read this morning. And the context and the setting of which this name is given to God and revealed to us is very important. And it's because Jehovah Nissi is revealed to us in the context of war, right? It's right after a battle. And here's why that's so important for us to understand, because although we're not literally at war, right? Of course, we're not fighting soldiers like physically throughout the week, right? But the reality is that many of us are walking through battles in life. Whether you're aware of it or not, you're walking through battles. You're walking through times of struggle, right? Maybe you're walking through the battle of depression for some of you. And the weight and the pressure of life is just so heavy, and you sometimes just feel like you're giving up. Maybe you feel like you're going through a battle of addiction, and you feel like you're in the cycle of making bad choices constantly. And you've tried so hard to get out of that, but you just feel powerless to get out of that. Maybe you're walking through the battle in your marriage. Right? You come to church, you put on your smiling face on, and you go out with your friends as if everything's okay, but behind closed doors, like, you're battling in your marriage. Maybe you're facing in a broken relationship, broken friendship, broken family issues. Or maybe you're walking through a battle of temptation where the temptation is overcoming you rather than the temptation or you overcoming the temptation. Maybe you're going through a battle of fear and worry, and you don't know how to get out of it. The reality is that life throws battles at us, doesn't it? Life is full of battles. It's full of moments of struggles, full of difficult times. And also, we have a real spiritual enemy, the devil. And what's his ultimate goal? It is to kill, steal, and destroy us. That's what he wants to do. And so, that's why it's so important for us to remember as we walk through the battles in life that Jehovah Nissi, right? God is our banner. The Lord is our banner. He is our banner in our battle. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the story once again to you, Exodus chapter 17. But what I kind of want to do before I do that is quickly give you the backstory of this, because I think it's important for us to know the setting, right? So, as all of you know, this is a story about Israelites, and Israelites are a people group, and they were descendants of this guy named Jacob, right? And Jacob and God had this very special relationship. And God had made a promise to Jacob that he was going to bless him with many descendants that would eventually become this nation. And not only were they going to become a great nation, but through this nation, God was going to bless the entire world, that they were going to have this salvation brought through this nation. So this is Israelites, the chosen people, so to speak. And the problem was they were enslaved to Egyptians for 400 years, and that's a long time to be slaves to. And they had recently just been set free prior to Exodus chapter 17. And so, as most of you know, Moses was called to lead the Israelites. And miraculously, he led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. But as soon as the Israelites enter into their freedom, they immediately start to complain. They're complaining people. So they were saying things like, man, Moses, what are you doing? You know, like, we don't even have, you know, water to drink. I think we're going to, you know, all die by starvation or something. We're starving to death. They're complaining. And we wish that we would have, you know, we just stayed in Egypt, right? What did you do to us? Where are you guys, or where are you leading us to? And what God does is he miraculously provides water and food for the Israelites. But then, thing is, they begin to face their first battle in Exodus chapter 17. And so this is where they're at today. The first battle they ever face in their freedom. So let's look at this together once again in different version of the Bible that I chose. So Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 8. You don't have to stand. I will read for all of us. It says this: while the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. And tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill, holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, Moses' brother, and Hur, Moses' nephew, climbed to the top of a nearby hill. And as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had advantage in the battle. But whenever he dropped his hands, the Amalekites gained advantage. So Moses' arm soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hand. So his hand held steady until sunset. And as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. And after the victory, the Lord instructed Moses, write this down on a scroll as a permanent reminder and read it aloud to Joshua. I will erase the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses then built an altar and named it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. So a lot happens in this story, and I kind of want to look at some of the things more closely together, and let's start from verse 8. So it says that the Israelites were at Rephidim, right? And then the Amalekites attacked them. Now the Amalekites, they were descendants of this person, Amalek. And if you go back and read in the Bible earlier, Amalek is a grandson of Esau. And here's what's interesting, because the Israelites were descendants of Jacob. And Jacob and Esau, they're twin brothers. And as you all know, Jacob did some sneaky stuff to steal Esau's birthright from his father. And then he got the blessings from his father. And then the nation of Israel, they come from Jacob. And then the Amalekites, they come from Esau. So they're distant cousins, technically speaking. This is like a family feud that they're having. But what we have to remember is that now the Israelites just got out of slavery. And they were completely unprepared for the battle. See, they're not at a battle or at a war. You know, they were attacking the Amalekites. They were attacked. And so Moses then goes and tells Joshua to get some men and go into battle while he goes on top of the hill to hold up the staff. And so Moses goes on a hill with Aaron and Hur, and something crazy happens. As Moses lifts the staff, the Israelites, they begin to have advantage in battle. They're winning. They're pushing back on the Amalekites. Then when his arms get tired, he puts his arms down, then he notices that the Amalekites then start having the advantage of battle. Right? They're pushing back on the Israelites. So basically, as long as Moses, he's holding the staff, they're winning. They're having victory, but when he puts his hands down, they're losing. Now, here's what's important for us to understand, is that there was nothing special about the staff. Like nothing. Nothing magical about the staff. I mean, the staff wasn't like Harry Potter where you could, cast spell over the enemy and be like, you know. There's nothing special about the staff. But it was God that was working and acting behind the staff. And I want to pause here, right, before we go any further in the story, because when God called Moses to the mountain and spoke through him, like through the burning bush, and said, Moses, what I want you to do is I want you to go back and lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses, remember from last time, he's very reluctant, right? He's like, there's no way, God, I can't do this. You must have chosen the wrong person. And remember, Moses goes, okay, God, what's your name? If people come up to me and ask what your name is, what am I going to say to them? And that's when God told Moses, Moses, I am who I am, right? And to assure Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, God says, Moses, I'm going to be with you, all right? Don't worry. Moses is like, God, I think I'm going to do this all alone. You want me to do this? And God's like, don't worry, Moses. I will work through you. I will be with you. But then Moses asks another question, all right? He goes, okay, God, I get your name. I understand the fact that you're going to be with me? But Moses goes, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? What am I going to say? Then God asked him a question, right? He says, what is in your hand? Moses says, well, a staff. So God says, hey, to prove that I am with you and that you're going to do what I'm telling you to do, I'm going to use what's in your hand, the staff, to perform miracle things, to ultimately lead my people out of Israel or Egypt. So there's nothing special about the staff. But what we can learn from this is that I think a lot of times, we just rush past this, right? But God uses something completely ordinary to accomplish something great. And if we think about it, we actually see that theme all throughout the scripture, how, you know, God uses something ordinary to accomplish something great. We see that in the story of Samson. Samson, what does he do with a donkey's jawbone? He defeats the entire army of Philistines, right? With God. God uses something very, like, completely ordinary to accomplish something great. We also see that in the story of David. David, he's a young shepherd boy, and all he has is a slingshot and a 5 smooth stone. And with God, he defeats the giant Goliath. You see in the New Testament as well, a boy brings a small lunch, that all he has is a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And Jesus uses that to multiply it to feed thousands and thousands of people. See, God uses something completely ordinary to accomplish something great. And what I want to say is that don't underestimate your life, your ordinary life, because God uses that to accomplish something great. I think a lot of times we say, well, I'm not gifted enough. I'm not talented enough to be used by God. My life is not special enough. I'm not spiritual enough. But whatever excuse we make, the truth is God uses just a staff, an ordinary staff, to accomplish great miracles. And the question that I want to ask is, are we willing to let God use our life? Are we willing to let God use whatever ability, whatever resources, whatever time, whatever that we have in our hands, and just be like, God, this is what I have in my hands. Use it for your glory. And God can use that to accomplish great purposes. Amen? But now back to what we were talking about, back to the story. So Moses, he's holding up this staff and his arms get tired. And we have to understand the fact that he is not in his 30s, 40s, or 50s, or not even his 70s. He's in his 80s, like he's 80 years old. And we have to give him a break. He's holding the staff as best as he can until sunset. And eventually, the Israelites are victorious. Now then, in verse 14, this is what's so interesting in the story, that God tells Moses to write this down, right? Write this down. And here's why that's so interesting to me, because so much has happened, right, in the life of Moses, leading the people out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea, you know, sending the plagues on Egypt. But God never told Moses to write those things down. Now, eventually, he would write all these things down later in his life through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but God had never told Moses to write those things down. But for the first time, God tells Moses to write this down, and it's after this battle. Right? This is actually the first time that we see the word write in Scripture in Exodus chapter 17. And God goes, write this down. Why? Why would God do that? Why did God say that? Well, I believe it's because this story gives us some principle on how we should fight our battles. It teaches us how to fight our battles. You know, if we think about it, God, of course, he knew that this was going to be the first battle that the Israelites will face, right, after their freedom. But this certainly wouldn't be their last. And God wanted them to write this down, to remember that He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord their banner. And likewise, no matter what battle you're facing in life right now, it won't be your last. And we need to have some write down moments where we say, we remember that God is our banner. So what does this story teach us? I want to look at a few things, three things. And firstly, what it teaches us is that battles often come at unexpected times. How many of you know that's true? Battles come at unexpected times. The Israelites, they weren't at war, right, with the Amalekites. They weren't attacking them. Instead, they were attacked. And it's funny because the Bible actually says that they were at this place called Rephidim in the passage that we read today. And in Hebrew, Rephidim literally means resting places. Isn't that so interesting? Not a place of battle, but it's a place of rest. And to this day, that place is beautiful. It has palm trees. It's luxurious. It's a fruitful place. And a lot of times in our life, right? I think a lot of times in our life, battles come when we get a little bit too comfortable. Maybe when we start to become a little bit lazy, right? We become a little bit spiritually apathetic. Or maybe when we start to, you know, drift from being connected in church, drifting maybe in some healthy spiritual habits of reading the word, praying, being in community. That's when the battles often come unexpectedly. I mean, we wish that we would know when the battle was coming so that we can be prepared, be ready for the battle. Be like, okay, in 2 months, we're going to go through a struggle. So let's get ready. No, it doesn't work that way. Battles don't come at unexpected times. And so what does the Bible tell us? We see all throughout the scripture this warning. That is to stay alert, to stay ready. Peter says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Jesus says this in Matthew 26:41. He says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Paul, as an early church leader, he says this, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Battles come at unexpected times. So church, here's a warning. I'm not trying to scare you or anything, but stay ready. Stay alert. Stay connected to God. Second thing that we can learn from this story is not just when the battles come, right? But how we can best fight battles. And I want to tell you that battles are best fought in community. We see this in the story how Moses, as he's lifting the staff during the battle, his arms get tired. And as you all know, he has Aaron and Hur by him, you know, bringing a stone to sit on and to lift up his hands. And my question is, as we look at this story together, do you have Aaron's and Hur's in your life? Do you have people that know you that would even know when you're in a battle to stand with you, to pray for you, to support you, to help you to be there for you, just like Aaron and Hur? And I think a lot of times we say no. We don't. People suck. But the reality is we have to sometimes give before we receive, right? And so my real question is, are you an Aaron or Hur in someone's life? Ooh. Are you someone who knows when someone's in battle, you're going to go encourage them, support them, help them, lift their hands in their battle? And this is why it's so important. And I think it's a great step for many of us to do is join a fellowship, right? So if I can just say, if you haven't joined a fellowship, I want to encourage you to really consider taking that step to be in a community. Because we want to be we don't want to be a church that doesn't offer you to join fellowship. No. But we really want to be a church that's made up of fellowships so that when someone's going through a battle, when someone's going through whatever, right? We can be there for them, pray for them, and support them, lift their hands, because battles are best fought in community. In the story that we read today, Moses, he wasn't up on the hill all alone to begin with. He was there already with people. And I think a lot of times we tend to kind of wait until we're in a time of you know, struggle to reach out. And that's sometimes too late to reach out. And please, if that's you, hear me. Reach out, because we want to fight together in the battle. Whether you're walking through a battle now or not, don't make the mistake of not investing in friendships and fellowships just because you're not facing the battle right now, but because you will. My wife, Jessica's grandmother, is 97 years old, and just a week ago, she fell at midnight while she was trying to go to the bathroom. She fell, and so she was rushed to the hospital, immediately hospitalized. Last year, we visited Korea as a family for the first time after a pandemic, and when I met her for the first time, like, she's like the healthiest 97 years old woman that I've ever seen. Like, she's healthy both mentally and physically, but she's now unable to walk. She's old. And considering her age, the doctor has advised against surgery due to potential complications and even the risk of her life. So what do? We ask for prayers, right? We've reached out to the pastors, elders, to pray for her and for our family as we go through this time of uncertainty. And I just cannot express enough how thankful and blessed we are by the community that is supporting us in so many ways. Something I've been thinking about lately is that I don't know what these next 12 months hold for me and for my family. Some of you know, my mom, just less than a year ago, she underwent cancer surgery, which was so unexpected. Jessica's other grandmother from her dad's side just passed away a few months ago in May. And I'm thinking, there may be more difficult things ahead. So we're like, we want to stay connected in our fellowship. That was literally what I was talking to, you know, Jessica. We want to be in a community, right? Connected to church, so that if we end up in a battle, and I'm sure we will, we have people that would even see that and know that and be able to lift up our hands in the battle. So, join a fellowship if you can. This is what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, 2. Paul writes this. He says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in times of need. Battles are best fought in community. Amen. Amen. So we talked about how battles come, how we best fight battles, but here's a question, right? How are battles won? Because we want to win the battle. This is where I kind of want to dive deeper into the name Jehovah Nissi, too, the Lord our banner, and specifically the second part of the name, Nissi, banner. Now, banner is an ancient time kind of thing. It was around in an ancient time. It was something that was carried by ancient armies, and it was served as a symbol of the ideals of the people. And back in ancient times, unlike having flags, they would have ancient banners. They were made up of wood and metal. They were shaped into various figures or emblems. And they would oftentimes either place in the front lines where the soldiers were, or high on a hill so that you can see the enemy coming, or, right? Like, sometimes you don't see, their faces, right? Far away. You don't even see their weapons, but you would see their banners, their nissis. And the reason that they were placed on the front lines or high on a hill is because banners would give soldiers a feeling of hope and a focal point. banners were meant to give the soldiers a feeling of hope in a battle and a focal point so that they can rally to. Because you know, if we think about it, if we just imagine putting ourselves in a battle, it's so easy to get overwhelmed in the battle. So easy to get overwhelmed by the enemy and just feel defeated. So easy to get discouraged, and it's also easy to get lost, right? And so they would have these banners, these nisis on the front line or high on the hill, so that the soldiers could see, and so that they can remember what they're fighting for. And most importantly, so that they can have hope in the battle. We need hope and a focal point when we are in our battles. Proverbs 13:12 says this. It says that without hope, our heart becomes sick. For some of us, if we've been fighting battles, if you're just honest, you would say, I've lost hope. Right? Sometimes you go, man, I lost hope. Maybe you lost hope for yourself. Maybe you lost hope for your marriage. Maybe you've lost hope for your life. You say, I lost hope. And how are battles won? Battles are won when we focus on the hope that God gives us. That's how we win battles. When we focus on the hope of God. You might ask, what's the hope that God gives us? See, at the end of the battle in the story, what Moses does is he builds an altar and he names it Jehovah Nissi. So Moses recognizes that the Lord was Israel's banner under which they defeated the Amalekites. Now banners, there were emblems and there were symbols lifted high on a pole. And the Bible tells us this, that Jesus was lifted high on a pole. In other words, the cross. And here is the beautiful parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that Jesus becomes our Jehovah Nissi. As he's on the cross, he becomes our Jehovah Nissi. He becomes our hope in our battle. And our banner is the cross of Jesus. It's the cross of Jesus. And this is why the author of Hebrews says this, that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, like we sang this morning. So my encouragement to you this morning, church, is this. As you're in the battle, focus on the hope of the cross to remember that Jesus has won the victory, right? So when you're in a battle of depression, right? What do? You focus on the hope of Christ. When you're in that battle in your marriage, you focus on the hope of Christ. No matter how your life plays out, no matter how the battle turns out, you know that there is hope. There is still hope. And as a follower of Jesus, we don't have to fight for victory. I know many of us have heard this before. We don't have to fight for victory, but we get to fight from victory because Jesus has already won the battle for us. We're in a place of victory that we would remember Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner in the battle. And if you seek him and if you look to him as your place of refuge, it'll help you in your current struggle. And so I'm going to pray, but before we do that, I just want all of us to kind of bow our heads down and close our eyes because I want to read to you Psalm 46. And here's what I know. As I was kind of talking about the battles, I'm sure you thought of something. You must have thought of something. Maybe you thought of a battle that you're facing right now. And what I want to do is I want to give you a moment which you and God to connect. Right? There's nothing spiritual about, you know, bowing our heads down and closing our eyes, but helping us to focus, right? And I just want to read to you a scripture, Psalm 46. And instead of the scripture uses the word our and us, I'm going to say your and you because I want this to be personal to you. So as you're thinking about the battle and remembering Jehovah Nissi, I just kind of want to read this to you with everyone's heads down and eyes closed. It says this, God is your refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, you will not fear. Though the earth give away and the mountain fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and fall and form and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are our banner. And I just pray for all of us right now that, God, those that are here in this morning who are going through the battles, walking through a moment of struggle in their life, that they would just remember Jehovah Nissi, that you are our banner in the battle, and that you would be their hope in their battle. And God, I also pray that as we have battle, whatever the battles we have in life, just like the Israelites and Moses did, may we have these write down moments that as we encounter battles, that they would be markers of your presence and love in our lives. Fill our hearts with peace and hope in you, even in our battles, because we know that you have already won the battle for us. We thank you for this assurance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.